Welcome back, everyone. Ready to dive deep into another fascinating ecological mystery.
Always up for a good mystery.
Well, get this. You sent in a research article, and I gotta be honest, even the title had me scratching my head a bit. It's called The Non-Native Quercus rubra Does Not Substitute the Native Quercus robur and Q. petraea as Substrate for Epiphyte Lichens and Bryophytes.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
Right. But I think we can break it down. What's it really saying in plain English?
Okay, so basically it's all about oak trees, right? But different types. It's asking if red oak, which is actually from North America, can support the same lichens and mosses as the European oaks, like, you know, when they're planted over in Sweden.
Okay, I'm following. So it's not just about planting a tree. It's about whether this new oak can really fit into the whole ecosystem, right? Like, can it support the same little world of life on its bark?
That's exactly it. With climate change kind of forcing us to think about new tree species for forestry, we need to know if they can really integrate into the existing, biodiversity.
Because, I mean, you can't just swap one oak for another and expect everything to be fine, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be consequences.
You're hitting on a key point. Those lichens and mosses, they're not just there for decoration. They actually play crucial roles.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about that. Like, they break down stuff. They help with nutrient cycling. They even make little homes for insects, right?
Exactly. So this study really dives into that. They looked at, it was in southern Sweden, actually, managed oak forests, not untouched wilderness or anything.
Oh, interesting. So this is about forests that humans are actively managing. So even more relevant, I guess, to how we're, you know, dealing with forests globally.
Yeah, for sure. So they compared, they compared the types and numbers of lichen and moss species they found on the red oaks, the North American ones, versus the native European oaks.
Now, I remember seeing a picture in the paper. You know, the red oak bark was so smooth, like almost polished, and then the European oak was all rough and, like, you know, cracked. I remember thinking, would a lichen even recognize that red oak as a place it could hang out?
That's such a good observation. The texture of the bark is actually super important for those little guys. And yeah, the study found big differences.
Okay, lay it on me. What did they find out about this whole bark texture thing?
Well, the native oaks with that, you know, that rough kind of fissured bark, they had way more diversity, way more different types of lichens.
Okay. More variety. Makes sense, I guess. More nooks and crannies for them to, you know, to latch onto.
Yeah. And get this, over a third of the lichen species were only found on those native oaks, not on the red oak at all.
Whoa. A third. So, like, basically, if you're a certain kind of lichen, that red oak is like no-go territory. But what about the mosses? Were they just as picky about their, their tree bark real estate?
Ah, that's interesting. The mosses were a bit of a different story. Most of them seem to be what we call generalists.
Generalists, meaning?
Meaning they're not so picky.
Yeah.
They can thrive on pretty much either type of oak. More adaptable.
Huh. Okay, so even if the mosses are, like, cool with either oak, does that mean it's fine if we just, you know, plant a ton of red oak? Like, won't it still have some kind of impact on the whole forest, you know?
That's a really good question. It gets us thinking about the bigger picture. What happens to the whole dynamic when we introduce, you know, this kind of new player into the game?
Right. And speaking of impacts, we touched on how those red oaks can affect, like, what grows on the forest floor too, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole other layer to this. So those red oak seedlings, you know, they can form like a dense carpet on the forest floor. And their leaf litter, it's different.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Red oak leaves are kind of tougher. They don't break down as fast as some other leaves.
Exactly. So they can actually, like, smother the growth of some of the native plants, you know, the wildflowers, ferns, all sorts of things that would normally grow there.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that. But that makes sense. If they're not breaking down, they're, like, blocking the sunlight and stuff.
Yeah, and those plants, they're the foundation for the whole food web, right? Fewer plants, fewer insects, fewer birds. It's like a domino effect.
Yeah, totally. It's all connected. Messing with one part messes with the whole thing. And it's not just the plants, is it? Didn't the study also talk about the red oak affecting, like, the soil itself?
Absolutely. Red oak can change the soils, its acidity, the nutrients. And that influences, you know, what else can grow there, even the types of fungi.
Wow. So we're seeing how this, like, seemingly simple question of can we swap one oak for another, it gets really complicated really fast, like pulling on a thread on a sweater and having the whole thing unravel.
That's a great way to put it. It really highlights just how interconnected that whole forest ecosystem is.
Yeah, and it makes me think, you know, even if some lichens might prefer the red oak and the mosses don't seem to mind, there's still all these other things to consider.
Exactly. That's why this kind of research is so important. It helps us understand, you know, the potential consequences before we make these, like, big changes to the landscape.
Okay, so no easy answers here. But if we're trying to create a healthy, diverse forest, is there a way to, like, to incorporate red oak without messing things up too badly?
Well, instead of just planting one species, like a monoculture, maybe we need to be thinking more about mixed forests, combining, you know, native and non-native trees strategically to try to get the benefits of each.
Okay, so more of a balanced approach, kind of like diversifying your portfolio, but with trees.
Exactly. It's all about finding that sweet spot where all those different species can kind of coexist and contribute to a richer, more resilient ecosystem.
We've covered a lot here. Lichens, mosses, soil, even birds. This one tree, it's like it has implications for the whole forest web. And thinking back to the study itself, it was done in, you know, in managed forests. What do you think would happen in a truly wild forest, like, you know, if we introduced red oak there?
That is a fascinating question. This study gives us a really valuable snapshot, you know. But it doesn't tell the whole story.
Right. Because a wild forest, it's got all those layers of interactions, and it's been evolving for, you know, centuries without us messing around with it. It could react totally differently.
Right. There's so much we still don't know.
Well, this deep dive has definitely given me a whole new perspective on those forests. You know, you walk through them, they seem so peaceful and quiet, but there's a whole world of activity going on that we don't even see.
It's like buzzing with all these unseen interactions.
Exactly. And this research really highlights how much those little interactions matter.
It does. It reminds us that every piece of the puzzle is important, you know?
Yeah.
Even those tiny lichens.
It's true. You mess with one thing, and who knows what the consequences will be down the line. I bet our listeners are going to be looking at forests a little differently now.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because the more we understand those complex relationships, the better we can manage our forests. You know, especially with all the challenges we're facing with climate change and everything.
Absolutely. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we? Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with before we wrap things up?
Let's see. I guess I'd encourage them to keep questioning, you know, keep exploring. Every walk in the woods is a chance to observe, to wonder, to connect with all that's going on around us.
You know, it's funny. We started with this one research article, and now we're talking about, like, the whole future of forests.
Yeah, it's amazing how these things kind of, you know, spiral outwards.
And you know what? I keep thinking back to something you mentioned earlier. This study, it was all about managed forests. What if we, you know, what if we shift gears and think about those same oak species, but in a wild forest, a place where humans haven't really, you know, interfered?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, this study, it's like it gives us a glimpse, you know, a snapshot. But a truly ancient forest, an old growth forest, that's a whole different ballgame.
I mean, I just picture those massive oaks you see in documentaries. Huge, sprawling, ancient, like they've been there forever.
Right. And all that time, all those years, the species have been interacting, competing, evolving without, you know, without us coming in and managing things.
So the whole dynamic could be completely different.
Exactly. It makes you realize how much we still don't know.
This deep dive has really, I don't know, it's been eye-opening. You walk through a forest and it seems so peaceful, but underneath it all, there's this whole web of life, you know, this whole network of interaction.
It's almost like, you know, you can feel the energy, even if you can't see it all happening.
And what I find so fascinating is it's not just the big stuff, like the trees themselves. It's those tiny things, those lichens and mosses that play such a big role.
Right. It's all connected. You can't just focus on one piece of it. You got to look at the whole system.
I bet our listeners are going to be looking at forests a little differently now.
I hope so. Because the more we understand about how those forests work, the better we can, you know, the better we can take care of them.
Well said. It's been a fascinating conversation. Any last thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Let me see. Well, I guess I just encourage everyone to, you know, stay curious, keep asking questions. Every walk in the woods, it's a chance to observe, to learn, to just appreciate, you know, the amazing complexity of it all.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe those walks will inspire some new research, some new deep dives for us to explore in the future. So keep those questions coming, folks. Until next time, happy exploring.